The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics, working with the world's leading broadcasters and equipment suppliers to transform industry standard technologies and workflows.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up later, we'll hear from Absolute Radio's Dave Berry about his new project. It's called Dave Berry's Dad Pod, and we'll chat about his breakfast show as well. Also this week, James Cridlam reports from a radio conference in Brisbane, Australia, where podcasts were high on the agenda. And David Lloyd is here with more radio moments, including the arrival of commercial radio in Liverpool with Radio City and the anniversaries of the deaths of two BBC legends this week, Frank Gillard and John Peel.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
It was, and all those exciting things are on the way on this podcast. But before all that, we've got the excitement of Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin. Hello.
I'm not sure there's any excitement planned for the next 10 minutes, but hello.
Hello.
Are we well?
Oh, yes. Well, there's plenty going on. It seems like a busy week. The radio news has all come back again. We've had a bit of a quiet time.
It's like the summer holidays. And then by midday on Monday morning, it was like, what? It's going to be a busy one.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of those big stories we've had on radio today in the last week or so. Ben Cooper leaving Radio 1 in the new year.
Yeah, this came as a shock to me. I was kind of hoping he'd stick around at least in the BBC to do something, with Lorna Clark coming in to kind of take over the role of controller of Pop. It leaves him just hanging around, really. But yeah, sad news that he is leaving the BBC after 68 years in charge of Radio 1.
It's not quite that long.
Good luck to Ben. Well, whatever it was. And good luck to Ben with whatever's next. I'm sure he's got a plan. I'm sure he's not just going to disappear. Probably end up at some streaming service or something.
When you've been in management at Radio 1 for, 16 years and 8 years as controller, I'm sure big things can still happen for you. So good luck to Ben for that. We've got new bosses at Heart and Capital this week as well. Andy Everett promoted from deputy editor to managing editor of Heart, and Brent Tobin moving from a regional role to be the big boss of Capital.
When you say we've got new bosses, are they... They're in charge of us?
No. As in we, the industry, has got new bosses for these two massive brands.
Gotcha.
Ain't nobody the boss of me.
Exactly, that's where I was going with that. Yes, well done to Andy and Brent, and also Greg and Mark as well. Greg Hughes and Mark Finlay, they got new titles, a week ago, and now they have new titles, is that right?
Yeah, I think Greg's had something else added to his job as a result of these latest changes, but yeah, it's all very confusing. But it looks like James has got his top team now in place.
Yeah, well done, James Rea, for sorting out your stuff. What else is going on? It's all happening this week, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, talking of global, LBC News is coming and replacing LBC London News.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's like we need a rolling news service in the UK. Monday morning, they announced a brand new radio station, although it's really a rebrand of LBC London News, as you say, which is, in case anybody doesn't know, because they don't shout about this, it's a rolling news service for about 12 or 13 hours a day in London on AM. And now it's going to go on D1, it's going to be national, it's going to be 24/7. I presume it's going to be live at 3 in the morning still with live news, which will be good. And I'm looking forward to it, for one.
And they brought some people in to do it as well. So Martin Stanford, ex-Sky, and Lisa Aziz, and Ian Payne are going to be on it, and Jim Diamond, who's on at the moment as well. So they're going for it, which you've got to applaud them for that, as what they've done with all their other new national stations they've launched over the last few months.
Yeah, and this is a real alternative as well in the marketplace, because how many music radio stations have launched in the last, 2 or 3 years? It's probably hundreds of them.
Mm.
And this, finally... is a new speech station, so I shall be listening to it. 20 minutes of news in 20 minutes every 20 minutes.
But yeah, I mean, the main LBC station and 5 Live and Talk Radio, they obviously cover the news, they have new stuff, but they do a lot of analysis, do a lot of discussion, and they pull away from live coverage of press conferences and Commons proceedings and that kind of thing to do the analysis and to get the reaction. So I guess this is just no punditry, no analysis, it's just the news.
Just the news. And long may it continue.
So as part of these changes, Radio X is going DAB Plus on D1. So I think Moyles was talking about this on the radio this week. They're getting very excited about the switch to stereo. And people are going, hang on, was it not stereo in the first place? But, you know, yeah. It's a big brand for them to do that with. They've obviously done it with some of their other brands already. But I think some of the main global brands are still normal flavoured DAB, because there will be people with older DAB radios who won't be able to get
DAB+.
Yeah, it's been funny listening to Chris Miles this week explaining stereo and talking to Toby Tarrant about bit rates and stuff like that. Have we got a clip? Tell me you've got a clip.
Okay, here's a clip.
What do I have to do on Friday?
You just wake up and we'll be there, just sounding pretty good.
100%.
Unless, you know, you've got an old radio.
Yeah.
In which case, probably I'd just get the app.
Just get the app.
Yeah, get the app.
Well, I need to retune.
James is nodding. Yes, yeah, retune it.
But not necessarily that often.
Not necessarily, no.
So I might have to retune, but I could switch the radio on and it could be there as normal, but it'll now be in stereo.
Yeah. Yeah, we're there if you need us. So take it or leave it, really. Is.
Okay. How do I know if my digital radio can receive DAB+.
Listen to your radio. It'll tell you.
Okay. And so the worst case scenario is we just won't be on your radio on Friday.
In which case, look, we tried to, have you as a listener, but it wasn't possible.
What would the bit rate be when Radio X moves over to DAB+? Looking forward to a detailed answer.
Yeah, standard bit rate. Your usual ballpark of bit rate.
Yeah, but I think they're essentially saying what will that bit rate be?
Sometimes it's hard to put a number on bit rate, but it'll be in the usual bracket of.
It'll be 128.
It's a good question.
64.
Again, in many ways, 64 and 128.
Right.
Yeah. It depends on the
bit rate.
That's Radio X this week, and Chris was talking as well about getting Bros back on the case up the top of Emily Moore to switch on the stereo. Like it's 1988.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
I should do that.
Right. So some other things going on this week. We had lots and lots of big news. Five Live schedule changes. This came a bit of a surprise, actually, even for people at Five Live, I think. Scott Mills and Chris Stark taking over the old Danny Baker slot from next month on a Saturday morning on Five Live. I think that's a good hire.
Yeah, it'd be the best of Scott and Chris without interruption of music. So looking forward to that.
And I heard Scott Mills on Radio 2 this week as well, because he's covering for Claudia on a Sunday night. So he's going to be doing his Radio 1 show during the week, Saturdays on Five Live, and at the moment Sundays on Radio 2. He's taking over the world.
He just needs a classical music show on Radio 3 and a documentary on Radio 4.
Yeah, maybe.
To complete the set.
Some other Radio 1 news. We talked about Ben Cooper leaving. There's a treasure hunt. This sounds fun. This is happening on Thursday this week. So by the time you hear this, it might have already been going on. They've basically hidden some golden tickets around the country and listeners have got to go and find them. So it's a bit like the hide and seek thing that they did.
It's great. And hopefully somebody will find the new controller of Radio 1.
No. They're looking for tickets for festivals.
Okay. Oh, I'm getting mixed up, am I? Sorry.
Yeah, moving on. Greg James has got a new thing as well. Have you tried this new Alexa app, What's My Age Again?
I have, yeah. I almost want to say, I don't know how they do that. It's so clever. But knowing technology, I know exactly how they do it. But it is really clever that Greg interacts, and the caller even interacts with you at home, talking to your speaker. Yeah. Obviously, it gives different answers for whatever you say. It's very clever. All you have to do is say the words, Alexa, ask the BBC to play What's My Age Again.
Okay.
There it is.
Dossie, welcome to the future. It's fun, isn't it?
I love it.
It works.
Are you confident that you can beat our player at home?
Alexa,
I am. I'm in.
Yeah, okay. So if you haven't tried that at home... Oh, she said goodbye.
Yeah,
if you haven't tried that at home yet, go ahead and do it. It's good fun.
It's good fun. Yeah, absolutely. And it's exactly the kind of thing Radio 1 should be doing to get that younger audience engaged. Because I noticed when you finish playing the game, it takes you back to the live stream of Radio 1. It says, let's get you back to Radio 1. I wasn't listening to Radio 1 before, but it puts Radio 1 on the stream. So it's very clever.
I was going to say, they need to change the wording on that because it says, let's go back to Radio 1, but you weren't. Yeah, so if you can change that, Mr. BBC, Mrs. BBC, that'd be great. Thank you.
There's another new BBC thing just launched as well this week, a new thing on Alexa where you can skip the news and ask for more information on certain stories as well. Just launched a kind of deep dive on voice news, which sounds very interesting. So give that a go as well. That's just launched on the BBC Skill as well. And a couple of other bits of people news. Chris Pegg is the new editor at BBC Radio Nottingham. He's left Bower and gone back to his Nottingham roots and taken over a BBC local radio station. So BBC local radio hiring people from commercial radio to run the programming. Wow. Wow.
Fantastic. That's what we need. And I was reading the story that we did on Chris Pegg leaving Bauer, and it was the typical line of he's off to pursue new interests or other opportunities. And he actually was.
Yeah.
He wasn't making that up. It wasn't just a throwaway line that everybody uses. And, so well done to Chris.
Yeah, and well done to Mark Radcliffe getting a kind of Lifetime Achievement Award at the Folk Awards this week for his 40 years in radio. That was at the Radio 2 Folk Awards, which took place in Manchester. Is your audio business Brexit ready?
Probably not. Why, Stuart? Is there something you can help me with?
Yes, get ready for Brexit. There's an event going on Friday.
Oh.
If you listen to this before Friday the 25th, then get yourself along to that in London. It's a free event aimed at audio businesses and audio freelancers to get you Brexit ready whenever Brexit may come. And there's a new podcast series coming out soon as well, which we will direct you to from Radio Today.
I'm going to be at Peppa Pig World, so I can't go this Friday. Is there... Oh, I could listen to the podcast, so that'd be fine.
Yeah, there's a joke to be made about gammon, but we won't go there. FireMux workshops for people interested in finding out about small-scale DAB are continuing, supported by Radio Today and Play Out One. They roll into Sheffield on the 9th of November, Watford on the 10th, Cardiff on the 23rd. Full details at viremux.com. And, oh, it's Rage Hour week, Roy. Another busy night for us.
Rage Hour, Rage Hour, and JNLR as well, which is the Irish
one,
radio ratings, of course, in case anybody didn't know. So double the work for us today, being Wednesday. So looking forward to finding out who's up, who's down, and who isn't.
Yeah, I think the things we're looking out for in Rage Hour, I guess, Scala Radio is going to get its first kind of proper book, isn't it? And we'll also find out how Chris Evans is doing, whether it's plateauing out a bit on Virgin or whether he's going up and up and up. So they're the things I'm looking out for, certainly. Yeah.
And we'll see how Zoe Ball's doing as well with the Radio 2 Breakfast Show.
Yes, it went down last quarter, didn't it? So all the analysis for you at radiotoday.co.uk come midnight Thursday morning.
Thank you, Stu.
Thank you, Roy. He's back next week. I don't know what we're talking about next week, but we'll find out. Still to come this week, after the ad, we've got Dave Berry, and he's very funny, so stay tuned for that, off of Absolute Radio and off of a new podcast.
I do like a bit of Dave Berry. How do you spell cancel?
The Radio Today programme, with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
It is the Radio Today programme. Well, last week we had the Classic FM breakfast presenter Tim Leoro on, so the only way to follow that is get another national radio breakfast host on. It's Dave Berry from Absolute Radio. Welcome to the podcast, Dave.
Hey, Stuart. Hello, pod subscribers. Nice to be here.
It's good to chat to you. We're going to talk about your breakfast radio show in a minute, but the reason you're on with us this week is you have a new podcast. I guess it's the cool thing to do in 2019, launch a new podcast. So yeah. Tell us about the Dad Pod. Where did this come from?
Dave Berry's Dad Pod has been a labour of love, if it was any labour at all, for some time. I totally get what you mean about your quip. It's just like everybody and their tennis partner's flatmate's dog has got a podcast at the moment. So I know I'm joining the ranks of millions. But it came about because when my wife and I found out we were pregnant and we got given certain milestones that everything was going to be okay. And I was keen to talk about it on the breakfast show on Absolute Radio. And so many of our dear listeners and famous faces alike got in touch with piece of advice or words of encouragement. And I didn't want to at the time because it would be a little bit too self-indulgent. And for many people listening, probably quite boring, just make the whole show about becoming a parent and that journey that we were going on. So I thought this could live somewhere else. And so with a couple of months to go until Evangeline, our daughter's first birthday, Dave Berry's Dad Pod has been born. And the first episode became available a couple of days ago on Monday. And I'm very proud to finally have it out there. And we've already received some nice comments from people who are already parents or are expecting children. And that's really, really rewarding.
And it's good. I've had a listen to the first one with Simon Hooper, who's a kind of Instagram famous dad. And I didn't realise he wasn't just a dad. He's got a proper job as well.
Well, Stuart, yes, thank you for listening to it. That's very kind of you. Exactly right. And we thought kind of about who we wanted to launch with, and because we've got Emma Willis, she's going to be on the Dad Pod as well, and we've got Rob Beckett and Kojo, and we've got John Thompson of kind of Fast Show and Cold Feet fame. We've got Tim Minchin as well, to talking to him about Matilda and what that, because that means so much to so many children. What does it mean to his children? He's quite upset when he told me it means nothing to them whatsoever. But we thought we would start with Simon Hooper for a couple of reasons that you've just pointed out there. You know, he might be an influencer, and it's quite interesting what he has to say about being classed as that, because he is also a 9-to-5 working dad, and his wife is a midwife, and also she's a phenomena on Instagram as well, and they've got 4 children, the youngest 2 of which are twins, so they are in more than a kind of authoritative position to tell and talk all thing parenting. So we thought we would start with him as a kind of super dad, I think I call him in the introduction. And he had so many, you know, wise words, and he told so many warm anecdotes and so many funny little stories that I think we made the right choice by putting him out first.
And for so many people working in radio as well, because we work funny shifts, we're quite often at home with the kids when normal people with normal 9-to-5 jobs aren't. So I guess you're lucky in that respect that you get to spend a bit more time with Evangeline, because you know, you're home at what, 10 past 10 every morning, is that right? Is that how it works?
Well, yeah, I mean, some of us like to do a little bit of, you know, preparation, a little post-broadcast debrief and stuff, Stuart. So you can't tar us all with that brush. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. it changes from day to day, but you are absolutely correct. In the main, I do get to spend a lot of time with my daughter, and I feel that I haven't missed out on some key parts of her growing up, even though she is still so young, but they change so quickly at that age. And it's interesting, one of the things that Simon talks about on the Dad Pod, which not many people know, is that you can, in this day and age, many places of work are happy to split the maternity and paternity leave, so you can get more of an equal split of that time off, instead of it being traditionally, you know, the father takes a couple of weeks off work and mum gets a lot longer, because mum might be the breadwinner. Mum might want to get back to work. Dad might want to spend some of that time, those formative years with his kids. So there's ways in which you can make sure there's more equality between who does what early on. But, and that, you know, the reason he wanted to bring that to the fore is because, as you say, he works, like so many people listening to this do, really hard and into the evening. Whereas for me, I do feel lucky that on occasion I can be done with my breakfast show at 10 a.m. and then I can head home to being a dad.
I suppose it's kids' bedtime though when you're getting up so early. But what does having a podcast enable you to do that you can't do on the radio with these topics? Because I suppose you're lucky at Absolute in that you're not just limited to a minute and a half, 2 minute links with guests. You can delve a bit deeper with them, but you go even further on a podcast, I suppose.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that's one of the reasons I love working here, is that freedom to do what you want to do and discuss what you want to discuss. And in fact, you know, I've been positively encouraged by you know, our program controller to do just that. But I think it's then up to the broadcaster or the presenter to make sure that they know where the parameters are on that, because you can have as much freedom in the world as you like, but how you use it is key to how good a breakfast show you're going to be making, which is why I said at the beginning, you know, sure, I'm allowed to go and talk about being a dad for half an hour if I wanted to, but I don't want to, because I know that that's not going to be for everybody. You need to play some of the songs, you need to mix it up and vary it up. Whereas on the doing a podcast allows you to do that, obviously in longer form. And also you can dive into the detail more. And you can also, you know, with the breakfast show, we do touch on serious issues from time to time. But in the main, I like to keep it light. I like to try and make it funny. We like to play the songs. We like to have a laugh, and we like to get callers on and interact and hear their funny anecdotes. Whereas when you're talking about something like fatherhood or parenting in general, there were so many opportunities with the guests that I had on to go a lot deeper. And we spoke about miscarriages. We spoke about how it feels to be adopted and whether that reflects upon how you feel about your mum and dad. We spoke about the fact that foster care gets a really bad press, and one of my guests wanted to go on a mission to turn the perception of foster care around. So there were lots of places we could go where I wouldn't necessarily want to go on the Absolute Radio Breakfast Show, but we could definitely do that on the podcast.
And it's obviously because you're part of Bauer, you've got the salespeople there selling it for you as well. And like with your breakfast show, you've got a sponsor that you get involved in the show. And I suppose I heard the script read in the first one, but you're making the advert content relevant to the target audience who are listening to the podcast with Royal London.
Well, that's it. I mean, I like the fact you've given the impression I have a load of minions who run around doing my bidding for me, which unfortunately I don't. But no, exactly.
You signed the deal with Royal London yourself, did you, Dave? Okay, it's all coming out now.
No, I can't take away the hard work that the team did on that one. But you're right. It was run past me first. And I think what Royal London were doing, which fitted really well with the dad pod, was talking about, you know, planning for the future. And, you know, before you have children, if you're lucky enough, you can, your commitments to where you see your money going or your finances going or what you're going to do with it, I think, change wildly. And Royal London at this moment in time had a really nice message that they were putting out there about, you know, not having shareholders, having, you know, their customers' best interests at heart, and looking at pensions and savings and those things. So it worked quite nicely within the context of the dad pod, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the commercial plug done, the sales team happy, and it's all about keeping them happy, isn't it? So 2 years now just gone since you joined Absolute. I think you had 6 months off after leaving Capital. A lot of people in the radio industry at the moment in a similar position on some gardening leave. So have you got any tips of what they should be doing in that time away from a daily show?
Well, it depends what situation you're in, because when I had my enforced gardening leave,
you knew where you were going.
Yeah. I knew I had something coming, so it meant I could spend some of my time thinking about that and getting excited about that and getting nervous about that. But that's a good place to be. I, because of the position I was in, my then girlfriend and I, we decided to go to a different on a different holiday or different trip each of the 5 months.
Wow.
So that was our thing. So we spent a lot of time. I mean, I became addicted to a daytime TV program called American Pickers. That was my only, that was my real achievement through my gardening leave. The first show we did, the first home time show on Absolute Radio, Matt Dyson went through a list of all of the things that people have achieved in similar amounts of time, including writing books, scaling Everest. And I just kind of knew word for word what the two main protagonists of American Pickers were going to say when they saw a rusty old alarm clock in the back of a barn. So spend it wisely. Spend your time wisely, gardening leavers. Don't do what I have done. Learn from me.
Since you started on Breakfast, you've obviously had the 7 playlists, 1 show thing, and a lot of people want to know how that actually works. Have you been tempted to say what the track was as it ends, as you're hearing it in your headphones?
Well, I believe it works through the magic of elves who live in the desk. I haven't asked any follow-up questions to that.
I was going to say, us muggles just don't understand it, do we?
No, I took to it quite easily. We have recently started doing a kind of jukebox request hour on a Friday in the final hour of the show, which means we come out of what we call banana because we have split playlists.
Yeah.
So that's been quite nice to be able to, because it's not so much crashing the vocal at the beginning. It's a lot of the songs that we play, particularly on the decade stations like the 70s, they've just got these like 5-minute-long weeping guitar solos at the end. So to show respect for the people who want that and like listening to that and are the you know, they're the purists when it comes to that kind of music, I can't touch it. I leave it alone. But as soon as I was given the opportunity to talk all over the end of a 5-minute-long weeping guitar solo, the radio DJ me kicked in and I was doing all the text numbers and giving out people's names who got in touch. And I must admit, it felt liberating. I did. I felt fantastic doing it.
And so during the show on a normal day, you listen to the main Absolute output, do you? Or can you pick and listen to 80s tunes all morning, or how does that work?
Well, Stuart, I know you like to dig down into the detail of these things. So I'm going to tickle your inner radio nerd right now, my friend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you go. Come here. Come closer. Here we go. So you can flick between the different stations, which in the 9 o'clock hour, once we've launched the no repeat guarantee and we play more songs back to back and we only do a little feature like the Daily Smash or some wordplay fun, whatever you have, we can flick around and enjoy some. I'm an Absolute Radio 60s kind of guy deep down. I think that's what I listen to while I'm playing FIFA. So we can flick around and have a bit of that. However, there is a particular button that I must remember to hit before we go live. Otherwise, I'm going to be in delay. And that's where you end up with a link like this, which most DJs have fallen into that hole at some point when their headphones are in delay. So I decide during the main bulk of the broadcast just to listen to the fabulous songs we play on the main station and not mess around with the kit too much.
It's a wise idea. And it looks like you've been having a lot of fun. Big guests, silly stuff with the team, crazy things with Wix. I think you gave away 50 grand last week as well. So you sound like you're enjoying yourself.
It's one of the happiest I have ever been from a kind of work and creative perspective, Stuart. It's really great. And hosting it is brilliant. And I absolutely love the show. Hosting alongside such a fantastic team, including Matt Dyson, who, as you know, is like my first love, and he always will be. He'll always have a special place in my heart. Is incredible. But the fact we all sit around and we come up with ideas and we integrate them into the show and we kind of make them work, and I've got the team who are able to do that and actually think about that when it's like, this is a funny thing to do when you've got a minute and a half left, or it's 5:30 in the morning and I put it on an email and you've got producer Mark Lockett who can just pull all that together for you. It's a real pleasure to do it from every single angle. So no, we're absolutely loving it. We really are.
And you're still getting texts saying, where's that OC fella gone?
I stopped looking at the texts. all jokes aside, we don't really, if I'm honest.
If you're listening, Christian, they don't miss you.
No, I'm sure they do. And he did obviously a fantastic job for 12 years. And of course they miss him. And I'm sure there's some of them who have just gone, and you know, but I've bought some in as well, I like to think. But you know what Christian, later on Richie, when he joined in, what they did was a great breakfast show. So of course he was going to be missed, but he had this big life-changing journey that he wanted to embark on, and it's not just a radio one. It's moving his wife and his children to the other side of the world and starting a new life, and I have nothing but respect for him for that. And you know, I'm running my own race. We often talked about this together, that you've got to do your own thing. So the people that did miss Christian, I kind of see it as like, oh well, it's because I'm not trying to be him. We're doing our own show, and you know, we get some really nice correspondence from listeners and stuff, and I think that there's we both of us can live within this world and within the history of Absolute Radio.
And we want to try and beat you at your own game, because you do 5 words, 5 grand when you get your guests on. So do you find that you're up for a quick radio geekery version of 5 words, 5 grand? I've got my 5 grand here.
Stuart, there's a reason why I host it and the other three members of the team are forced to play it.
Come on, let's go for it.
Okay, let's do it. Come on. This is the first time I would have played this, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I've never, because as I say, Matt, Emma or Glenn take part in it, or we do it with some of the guests, but I always ask the words. I've never once answered any of the words.
Right, let's go for it. So this is word association, essentially. First word that comes into your head, it's got to be the same word that I've guessed, yeah?
Yeah, I know what it is, Stu. I host it every morning.
I'm explaining for the listeners who don't listen to your show.
I know, I'm only kidding. I'm kidding.
So, broadcasting.
Legend.
Head.
Space.
Absolute.
Radio.
Chris.
Cross. Nice try.
And radio.
Geekery.
Oh, you got 0 out of 5.
No one's matching 5 with that, are they? No one. Crisscross, what a cracking reference.
I had Broadcasting House, headphones.
Yes.
Absolute 80s, Chris Evans, and yeah. Radio Today. That was the word.
Radio Today, of course, Radio Today. I'm sorry, I should have got Radio Today. So 0 out of 5.
Yep, so I'll keep my 5 grand, thanks.
Thank you for the opportunity to try and win it from you, though. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Well, you know, thanks for coming on, Dave. Episode 1 of the podcast is out now. It's called Dave Berry's Dad Pod. And you can also hear him, of course, weekdays 6 till 10 on pretty much any radio station with the word absolute in the title.
Stuart, it's been lovely talking to you. It's always lovely to see you. And thank you, everyone who's subscribing, downloading. Hope you enjoyed our little chit-chat.
Well, I certainly did. One of my favourite guests on the podcast recently. Thank you, Dave. Still to come on the Radio Today programme, James Cridland is here and David Lloyd has some more radio moments. A reminder first about Clean Feed. If you're doing an OB this Halloween, or maybe an interview or co-hosting a podcast or a show from somewhere different to normal, Clean Feed has been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really easy to use and connect in live, decent quality audio just using a web browser. You can even record within it as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take you 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview, recording, or that OB you've been planning for a little while and haven't got the technology to do. You can find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the Radio Futurologist. Last week, the big Australian Radio Alive conference was in my hometown of Brisbane, and I popped along to it and was quite pleasantly surprised. The high quality of the event wasn't the surprise. It's always been a large flash event. The first time I came to it was in 2007 in Melbourne, where their main speaker was Harry Shearer, best known for being that guy who does the voices on The Simpsons. And he was taking questions and answers from people in character.
Hi, Harry. Laura from Stella Radio.
Hi, Laura.
My question's for Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
Ned, do you think that the process of backmasking messages on albums is the work of the devil?
You know what, I think it was the work of the devil, having LPs in the first place, because you can't backward mask CDs. See, the Lord responded in kind with a mighty hand to create the CD that couldn't be played backwards.
Harry Shearer is also the guy that does the voices on Le Show, which is available on US public radio and as a podcast. Yes, and as a podcast. It's probably the most popular sentence for a radio program these days, because isn't everything available as a podcast? And the surprise this year at Radio Alive was that the first big set piece wasn't about a radio program at all. It was about a podcast, The Teacher's Pet, which was hosted by a newspaper journalist. And that journalist, Hedley Thomas, had no radio background nor any radio experience. And that's a ballsy and clever thing to do for a radio conference, to start with something that wasn't on the radio in the first place, and I think the right thing to do. Podcasting was quite a big part of the day. A good part of the afternoon, which split into individual tracks, was given over to podcasting as well, and probably quite rightly. Radio might believe, as iHeartRadio's Bob Pittman said recently, that podcasting is its birthright. After all, radio has been producing audio for 100 years and knows a thing or two about how to make great sounding content. But podcasting is still only 7% of audio listening. It does, though, seem to attract rather more than its fair share of press coverage and excitement. Radio has much to learn, from how, in spite of having a tiny fraction of the reach and total listening time, podcasting is captivating new listeners and advertisers alike. And podcasting has much to learn from the medium that still attracts 9 out of 10 of us every week. So wonderful to see radio and podcasting together this year at Radio Alive. I look forward to much more of it as audio continues to become more multi-platform in the future. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
Radio Moments, David Lloyd.
It's 15 years this week since this shock news.
BBC Radio 1
Newsbeat. John Peel, the longest serving DJ at Radio 1, has died. He was on a working holiday in Peru with his wife Sheila when he had a heart attack in their hotel. They had 4 children. John was with Radio 1 since the beginning in 1967. Controller Andy Parfitt told us more about what happened.
It's very hard to get John to take any sort of holiday away from the station, but he had gone on holiday and he'd gone somewhere that he'd always wanted to go with Sheila. He died of a massive heart attack in the hotel. No one could do anything for him. Sheila is out there, you know, with him and making arrangements to come back to the UK.
He was one of Britain's most celebrated broadcasters, presenting on Radio 4 as well as Radio 1. In 1998, he was awarded an OBE. Tony Blair has called him a unique voice.
He's someone who will not just be deeply missed, but I think we're all aware of the fact he was a genuine one-off and a very warm and decent human being too.
Tributes from bands and artists have been flooding into Radio 1.
Those responses give just some idea of the stature of John Peel and the fondness he enjoyed. His radio life started in the United States as a spokesman about Matters UK.
It was a small record shop in London that caters to these sort of, you know, collectors of these sort of records. And it's on 77 Charing Cross Road, which is the reason it has a name. And they just put out 99 copies of each record they make, because otherwise if they made 100, it'd make it a regular release, they'd have to pay tax on it. Just 99 copies in the account.
Then it was back to Blighty and the pirate Radio London.
The whole LP actually is very, very impressive in my estimation. And, you know, it's produced and everything by Andy Warhol, who's, if that's how you pronounce it, and I hope it is. And we'll be playing bits of that during the next couple of weeks in the Perfume Garden. So, as I've advised you before, wander through in our midst and pick out a flower from the perfume garden and plant it somewhere in your mind, and maybe it'll be memorable. I hope so.
Then on to the BBC, and this was his first show there.
I might mention that Arthur Brown and myself will be appearing at Middle Earth tonight. I shall be wearing my latest rather daring ensemble of hand-laminated rice paper, which I had whipped up over the weekend.
Yes, it looks absolutely dashing, I must say.
Thank you. I might mention that Peter ate a paper cup during that past last record, so if someone keeps him talking, I'll run for help.
Well, I'm waiting for the coffee, actually, so I couldn't wait. So I ate this. It isn't paper, it's something else.
Something else, yes. It is indeed, yes. So is this next song from tomorrow, as a matter of fact. It gets cleverer by moments. Oh, yeah. And featuring Keith West, this is Real Life Permanent Dream.
John heard there on his first Radio 1 show. And then as the years flew by, his trademark approach grew.
And the first of our sessions tonight, that from Joy Division, all new stuff. The session produced by Tony Wislin. And the first title, Sound of Music. That can't be The Sound of Music.
I just come back from a week at Watergate Bay near Newquay in Cornwall and thoroughly enjoyed myself. A bit of sunshine, played tennis, which I've never done before in my life much, I mean about four or five times, and did a bit of swimming, although not very much, and almost went to see Bruno Brooks in the Radio 1 Roadshow in Newquay. Unfortunately, the car broke down on the way to the thing. Water in the tank, one of those things.
John Peel heard there in the 60s, 70s and 80s as we mark 15 years since his death. I was talking actually to David Jensen the other day, who said that at one stage John Peel was considering joining Capital Radio. Life could have been very different. Commercial radio now, and 45 years ago this week it was Liverpool's turn. Here's Bill Bingham.
From 6 a.m. on Monday, October the 21st, Merseyside will have its very own 24-hour-a-day radio station. Radio City will be broadcasting 24 hours a day, 365 days a year from Liverpool to more than 2 million people in the greater Merseyside area. News, local, national and international, on the hour, every hour. Music, from Eric Clapton to Crumhorns, from Wagner to Wings, and the pick of the local...
When we arrived to start work at Radio City a month or so before we were due to open in October 1974, it was a bit of a mess. I think the newsroom was pretty well established. They had the teleprinters there and the desks and the typewriters. The studios were still being constructed. And much of what we prepared, the trailers and the test transmissions, we made in studios with wires hanging out of the ceiling or out of the floor. The desks were just about working. But, yeah, it was a mess. We worked our socks off. We had hardly any sleep. I can remember falling asleep in the corner of the studio between voiceover sessions, but perfectly happy about it because it was all so thrilling.
For the very first time, this is 194 Radio City, broadcasting to Merseyside.
There was this huge camaraderie of people who worked in the first great wave of commercial radio, mostly because most of us were making it up as we went along.
Gillian Reynolds, Radio City's first programme controller and the first woman to programme a commercial station. Capital had nearly had Ruth Leon, but she was replaced by Michael Bucht just before launch. It's 21 years this week since Frank Gillard died. Frank had been an accomplished war correspondent, a senior BBC executive. He dreamed up such programmes as Any Questions. But most famously, he was the person who convinced government and the BBC of the case for local radio, helped by demonstration recordings of just how it might sound.
I spent more than 4 years quartering the United Kingdom with the ferrograph in the boot of my car and with this demonstration tape. And I gave hundreds of demonstrations of it in city halls, in universities, in community centres, to group after group after group of members of Parliament and members of the House of Lords. Hugh Green came down with me to hold my hand. And, there were 1,000 mayors and town clerks and so forth, a very important body indeed. But this stuff was very, very convincing. And in the end, by the end of 1966, the government was now a Labour government, could no longer say, we don't see any evidence that people want this thing, because the evidence was overwhelming. Everybody was saying, well, why don't we have this? It seems a good show, you see.
Frank Gillard, who died this week in 1998. So with Radio Mercury launching for Reigate and Crawley 35 years ago, now Hart.
This, for the very first time, is Radio Mercury. Good morning, and I'm Ed Stewart, welcoming you to the very first transmission of the 48th station in the independent local radio network.
GLR replacing Radio London 31 years ago.
GLR, as heard but not seen in London, as from 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday the 25th of October.
Seven Sound launching in Gloucester 39 years ago.
Yes, we've just begun. We're here until 8:30 today. Why don't you stay with us? Indeed. Why don't you stay with us permanently?
And Capital selling off most of its restaurant businesses for £11 million 20 years ago to concentrate on core radio interests. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David, James, Roy, and my main guest this week, Dave Berry, from Dave Berry's Dad Pod and the Dave Berry Breakfast Show on Absolute Radio, and anything else with Dave Berry in the title. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.